Welcome back to the Psyche Behind the Physique. I'm your host, Maddie Michelson, IFBB Bikini Pro, founder of the Empowered Coaching Collective, and your guide in exploring the intersection of fitness, mindset, and life. Our goal on this show is simple: to inspire women to reach their highest potential by sharing wisdom, experiences, and testimonies from powerhouses in the health and fitness space who truly embody strength in every form. Today, I'm sitting down with my client, Kate, a pilot athlete and 2 days out from her very first OCB bikini show. And Kate brings such an interesting perspective because her life is anything but structured in the traditional sense. She's constantly flying between time zones, dealing with irregular sleep, long stretches away from home, and yet she's navigated this entire prep with precision, grace, and adaptability. And what I love so much about Kate's story is that even though most of us aren't pilots, we are constantly balancing something, whether it's motherhood, business, work, travel, or unpredictable life seasons. Kate's story is the perfect example that being busy or on the go doesn't disqualify you from pursuing big goals. It just means you have to get more strategic, more flexible, and more intentional. So, Kate, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today. I really appreciate it.
Of course, as you know, I'm super excited to be here and be able to talk about this with you. And thank you. Yeah, just a few more days out, so it's getting real. And I just had my food increase, so it's a really good day. So
I know. I told Kate, I told her that she has permission to cuss on this podcast, but hopefully she won't be doing too much of that because I've been feeding her.
yes, exactly.
But I want to really kind of kick off this podcast. When I first was thinking about who to interview this week and who to bring on, Kate, you're really top of mind, and you were top of mind because obviously we've been in close communication all week long. And last week, as we've been getting ready for the show this weekend, but Kate, I have so much respect for you and your career and how this
Thank you.
really has taught me. Yeah, of course, but it's taught me so much about. When I tell people like, oh, I'm busy, or I feel like I'm struggling to kind of manage everything. And when I say that busyness isn't an excuse, I mean that it's a variable for a lot of women. It's something that requires strategy. And your own perspective on this, or in your own experience on this, has shed light on what busyness means. But I really do think that every single woman that I work with has some iteration of busy in their life.
Of
You know, for you,
course.
like I said, it's time zones, it's overnight flights. For a lot of other people, it can be kids, it can be a demanding job, it can be managing chronic stress. And the goal really is never to eliminate the variable. Like, I would never sit down and tell you, I remember our very first discovery call together. And I think you were hesitant to start this journey with any coach because you were very clear about like, this is my life and these are the boundaries that I have and I'm going to be on the go and I need a coach that's going to work with me when I'm traveling and when I'm in different time zones. It's nothing that we can eliminate, but I knew from the get-go that we needed to build a system that accounted for that factor. And the difference between someone who succeeds and someone who burns out isn't the amount of chaos that they're facing. I really believe it's that it's the structure and the communication that you use to navigate chaos. So, Kate, would you first just kind of kick us off here? I know I've introduced you as a pilot, but would you share a little bit about your background as a pilot and in that context and in that journey, what led you to kind of like competing? Very different things.
So I've been an airline pilot for about 6 years now, with I'm not sure if a year counts because I was furloughed during COVID. But I've been in I started my flight training over 10 years ago, basically right out of high school. But I'm a first officer on the Airbus, and I'm based in Phoenix, which is awesome because that's also where I live. And I've been based at home for a year now, which has given me like an incredible lifestyle change, because before that, I had to commute to other bases to go to work. So I would have to like
Okay.
fly to LA to start my trip. And then when I would be done with my trip, I'd have to fly to LA back from LA back to Phoenix. So it was a lot of extra work and a lot of extra time I was wasting. And a lot of people do it for long term. I'm just lucky that I just had to wait until basically a spot opened for me in Phoenix. So it's been an amazing year of being based at home. And as for bikini prep, I was introduced to it from influence from my gym I was going to and an initial lifestyle coach that I had. I've always been really active. I've always been a competitive athlete. I played soccer all through high school and I thought I was a runner for a minute. I was not. I did like a half marathon and I was just like, I was trying to find something that kept me active and like competitive. But it just wasn't for me.
Sure.
I used to go to the gym. I've always gone to the gym, but it was more just like kind of out of obligation and no one, and I knew it was like good for your health. But it was not
Okay.
like a passion. It was not something that I actually really enjoyed. But once everything changed once I started following like set programming and like actually like tracking my lifts and truly learning like the benefits of strength training. 'Cause everyone's just like, oh, you need to go to that side of the gym and lift weights 'cause it's good for you. And I'm just like, okay. But once you actually do the research and you learn for yourself, like how great that strength training is for everybody. Anyways, that's how I started really starting to fall in love with it. And, my gym is very like bodybuilding-esque type of gym, and I just started talking to other people about it, and that kind of mindset and just like with my personality started to naturally lead me into bikini.
Yeah, I love that. And I also too, like, it's so funny because a lot of our listeners, obviously they don't know you from Adam yet. They're starting to, but it's interesting hearing, how you had heard about, well, working out is good for your overall well-being, right? It's good for your health. But Kate, and for those of you listening, Kate is such a why girl. You're like my, and I love this about you because I'm the exact same way. But when like a little kid asks a question to a
That's
mom and is
me.
like, why? Okay, but why? Why?
That's me.
And no, but really, like, bikini is the perfect sport for you because there's so many freaking weird ass nuanced things that we have to do as bikini competitors that it probably keeps you very, interested in, and kind of bought into the process. Now, something that I thought about as I was kind of thinking about this podcast and thinking about the angle that I wanted to take, because I think that we could share, you have so much to share, Kate, is on the context of adaptability. I don't know if you even recognize this when you were first kind of stepping into the sport, or if you've recognized this as we've gone through the prep together, but there's a lot of moments, as you know, as a pilot, where you have to be adaptable. I know I can count on probably more than two hands how many times I've gotten messages from you that say, "Hey, Maddie, I had an overnight," or, "Hey, Maddie, I'm stuck in X, Y, and Z city," or, "I'm not going to be able to get back at the time that I thought I was going to get back," or, "I won't have access to my gym." And there's unexpected things that happen, right? Even in the air, turbulence, last minute flight plans. So how have those lessons, maybe transferred over into your ability to be successful as a bikini competitor? Because I feel like when we've had to adapt, you shift really well.
So essentially, you kind of have to learn how to like prepare and for like the unexpected basically. And like with my job, we get a lot of obviously like changes, a lot of delays. And someone with my schedule, because I'm on call, and we call it reserve, but essentially to the normal person, it's being on call. And so I am used to always just ensuring like, okay, well, for example, I see that I get a trip. but it's going to the East Coast, and I know that there's a hurricane on the East Coast, so I know that they might extend me a day, so I'm going to pack for an extra day. Or I'll look and see where they're like the hotel that they're going to be putting me in. And it's, if it's going to be downtown, I'm like, oh, look, there's like a handful of gyms around there, so I can get like a good workout that day. So I'm going to make sure that I'll plan that day to go to that gym. Or I'll have a really short overnight at this hotel that's right next to the airport. There's nothing around, but I know that the hotel will have a treadmill, so I'll at least be able to get some cardio in. So it just kind of it as I get trips assigned to me being on reserve, I look at the trip and I have to plan out how much food I'm going to bring and what kind of workouts I'm going to do and when. And when we, that's what I was telling you about when you were talking about our discovery call. That was like one of my non-negotiables where I was like, I don't have the luxury of having a rigid schedule. I don't have like a Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 job to where I'm going to be able to do like an upper body day Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or I won't have the luxury to be able to do the things that you want me to do on the days that you set them to do. I'm like, I need a little bit of flexibility to be able to achieve this. Is that like, is that something that you're going to be able to work around? So that was
Yeah, and I
so.
think where a lot of people are going to struggle too, and where I see people struggle too, you just referenced like I'm not the typical person who has a 9 to 5. I think
Right.
that there's a lot of us that almost see like, oh, I have a 9 to 5 through rose-colored glasses, because the reality is, while your job, I think, probably does have a lot more variance on a day-to-day basis, it's not as predictable as like a normal finance job or banking job or something like
Right,
that.
right.
Nonetheless, like we don't, and I think that this is like the big picture lesson here for people that are listening, is like you don't want to approach any journey, especially if you're trying to be realistic and create a sustainable lifestyle for yourself, through the lens of like every single day is going to go as I expect it to. Like I can have a plan for every single day. I think that the lesson that you can really bring into this, Kate, and your experience can really, help to enforce for our listeners, is that, you can plan things out in your head, but you're always going to be better off when you have a plan for the plan maybe not going as well, or as
Exactly.
expected. And I think that for those listeners that, maybe you do think that everything's going to go as planned Monday to Friday, and you get off work and you go pick up your kid from school, and then you take your kid home, and then you go to the gym after that. Like, it speaks to just the importance of pack an extra pair of gym clothes in your car. Or maybe when things don't go as planned, pivot instead of, Kate, you've never once messaged me and said, hey, Maddie, I got to the hotel and all they have is a treadmill, so I'm going to skip my workout today. You just said it yourself. Your
Exactly.
mentality is, no, I'm going to capitalize on what I do have, right? It's
Right.
all a mentality. And I really believe that those people who thrive, whether it's in a prep or thrive, whether it's in a health and fitness journey, they're thriving because they can adjust without losing their focus. And
Right.
so,
So that
go
I
ahead.
was just sorry. I was gonna say, there's like this two mottos that I find myself like always going back to. And it's if you plan to fail, if you fa sorry, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And if it's predictable, it's preventable. And that's just kind of how I've always gone. That's how I've always truly operated. And like I was telling you, like if I get a trip to the East Coast and I know it's shit's hitting the fan and our airline's having a meltdown, I'm like, okay, it's predictable that I'm probably going to get pushed into another day of work, so that's why I'll bring that extra day of food. Or worst case, I'll pack like I have like a travel food scale, so I know like even if I do get stuck somewhere for days on end, at least I have a scale with me, and at least I know I'll be able to like Instacart myself food that I can pick out. It's never can't come to that, but like I have like these backup plans to where like if tr things truly get bad and I'm stuck somewhere for days, I'll have a scale and I'll have access for someone to bring me food during prep.
And I think that that's kind of the thing, right? We know logically that the likelihood of everything, hitting, coming to crashing down around you is unlikely. However, it does something for us, and this is, I didn't even think about making this point, but it really does something when you have that self-assurance and when you're not, when you know in your mind, no matter what, I'm going to be taken care of. It may not be easy. It may be not my ideal way of going about doing things, but no matter what, I know that I'm gonna get something in. I have a plan for if my food goes rotten or if I get stuck somewhere. And if you're a busy mom, and going back to that kind of like gym example, I see so many women that are like, oh, I miss my Tuesday evening workout. And it's like, well, did you think about maybe going to the gym on Tuesday morning? Or, was that the only time in our kind of one-tracked mind that we were going to find a way to fit it in? You can't be one-tracked when we are humans and navigating life.
I
Now,
do a lot
Kate.
of, sorry, I was just gonna say, I do a lot of travel, like, well, not during prep, but I've done a lot of traveling just like as a passenger as well. We have the ability to be able to just fly spontaneously, and you have to have like backup plans. And just having all these like plans A, B, C, D, it just gives you peace of mind, I would say. And like what you were saying too, like if someone has like a back-to-back meeting, or you're going to be tired on Tuesday because you work late on Tuesday, like you kind of have to anticipate these things, and it will just make things, if you start taking steps to remove these like little obstacles, it will give you a lot more peace of mind.
And piggybacking on what you said earlier too, which was predictability. What did you say? Predictability removes.
Oh, if it's predictable, it's preventable.
Yeah, exactly. If it's predictable, it's preventable. And so predictability doesn't always mean, oh, I can predict the fact that my kid's going to have a tantrum after school, right? But predictability also means, like I said, not seeing the world through a rose-colored plan that everything goes as planned every day. So moving on here, on the context of planning, I want to elaborate for just a couple minutes on preparedness versus perfection, because I think that this is where we walk a very fine line. Right? Because planning and having a plan in place, it can be very freeing and it can be very empowering. But if we overplan, that's what creates rigidity. That's what can almost create sabotage ultimately. And I think it's when we try to be perfect with things. So I don't want to harp on perfection. When you're prepared, it doesn't mean that you're also perfect, but it means that, just like you just referenced, Kate, we're removing those barriers, we're removing friction. And when Kate, for example, she would work to pre-log her meals into MyFitnessPal, or when she would go on these trips, something that I really worked on with Kate as soon as we started working together was creating meals out of single macronutrient foods. And for our listeners, what that means is I really wanted Kate choosing, carb sources that only contained carbohydrates, and protein sources that only contained protein, and fat sources like oils that only contained fat. That way, if we were on a trip and she needed more or less of something, she could just add more or less of those single macro foods. And it wasn't for, I wasn't trying to force Kate to do this to control every single category, but I wanted her decision making to become easier when things inevitably would shift and she was in the middle of a trip. Again, preparedness is what gives you margin, and it allows you to flow instead of panic and think, oh my gosh, I have to disassemble, or reassemble this entire meal that I've prepped. So, Kate, for people that are maybe on the go a lot, because this isn't necessarily something that I can speak on, what are some of your go-to strategies for, aside from, choosing single macronutrient foods, which if you want to elaborate on that, you're more than welcome to, but what are some of your go-to strategies for staying on track when traveling?
So, I actually really like this stuff. I have traveling with my food like down to a pretty good science. You already touched a little bit on the single nu macronutrients. But essentially, when I have days in a row of days off. So like a stretch of I'll have a stretch of days on and then a stretch of days. I'm sorry, I'll have a stretch of days off and then I'll have a stretch of days on call. And I'll look at the macros that I need to hit while I'm going to be on call. So I'll make sure to hit, plan, and pack all my food out from there. So if I have a 4-day stretch, I'll plan and package all of that food for the 4 days. And I keep all those 4 days identical so that it's simple and efficient. Lately,
That's a
it's been
big one,
really,
keeping things the
yes.
same.
Yes, exactly. So all 4 days of my being on call, it's going to be the same breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack. It's been really nice lately because before I used to have, as you know, the separate macros for training and non-training days. So lately it's been really nice because it's just been the same. But like what you were saying, I just kind of had to learn to prep for both and then see how my day was going to go, if it was going to unravel, or if it was going to stay as planned. So if I ended up training, I ended up adding the extra 20 grams of rice or fruit. And then if I wasn't going to train, then I would just skip that, if that makes sense. And all my
Yeah, and
food.
I think for a lot of people too, you don't have to be going on a trip in order to apply this principle. I think
Right.
when people are struggling with, oh, but like the meal thing, it's so hard for me to figure out my nutrition. I sit on my butt all day and respond to clients. I mean, I'm not a very, my life doesn't change very much on a day-to-day basis, but I eat the same thing for 4 days in a row, and then I switch it
Right.
up on day four for day five, six, and seven.
That's
And
exactly what I do.
I don't know who is successful changing up their meals every single
Someone that has a lot of time on their hands.
day. Too much, too
Which
much.
is fine, I guess, but that's exactly how I operate. I operate like I have a stretch of 4 days off. So on those 4 days off, I'm going to prepare for my 4 days on. And then sometime when I get home, I'm going to prepare for my 4 days at home. And it just keep swapping back and forth.
Well, and I think too, order of operations is really key here. So if you're new to this whole health and fitness journey thing, something that Kate talked about is something that I discuss with a lot of my clients, which is pre-logging. If I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to first go to the store. Actually, no, this is how I see things happening. They first go, okay, I'm going to go on all of these macro-friendly recipe websites, and I'm going to find all the macro friendly recipes I want. Then I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to get all the ingredients for all these different foods. Then I'm going to come home and I'm going to make it all. And then I'm going to put it into my fitness pal and oh shit, right? That's when nothing fits. So you actually want to work the complete opposite system. What you
Exactly.
first want to do is go into my fitness pal and plan out the entire day, start to finish. That's going to
Yep.
be your meal plan, and that's also going to be your grocery list.
Exactly. I always make when I go to bed, I always have at least the next day planned out, and I know that I have all of that food either ready to be cooked or access to it to cook that next day. So I always have the plan. I always know that I'm going to have that food that I have put into my fitness pal.
Yeah, and I tell people all the time too, when life is crazy and you're running, for busy moms or people like that, or even like young girls that are maybe pulled in many directions, whether they're working a finance job or they're a nurse, the reality is you have to eat no matter what.
Right,
So
true.
if you're stressed out all the freaking time and you're stressed, right? And then you're like, oh, it's 3 p.m. and you're starving at this point, and so you just decide to go to the local sub shop and get a fat sub with mayo, and you're
Exactly.
like, You have to eat regardless. So just make it easier on yourself. Take this one question mark item out of the equation.
Right, exactly.
So Kate, question for you. Has there ever been a trip or maybe a moment that you can recall on this journey and working with me that it's really tested, your preparedness, maybe when things didn't go as planned, but you still kind of found a way to make it all work?
Normal, again, we kind of talked about that already. Like, if I see that I might be pushed into another day or there's bad weather, I'll just like pack extra food. Over the years, you learn that things are going to start going crazy sometimes during work. And that's why I make sure I bring my food scale and I make sure I bring my extra food. But what's hard is what used to be hard for me is like the fridges in the hotels. Sometimes it would be like too hot or too cold, and my food, like
I've
what you're saying,
experienced
like
that.
my food would spoil or my food would get frozen. And I spend a lot of money on my food, so that was honestly more than anything that was pissing me off the most. And I ended up, and so you just have to pivot. You have to find other ways to do it. So I was sick of that happen. I mean, it really only happened like two times before I was like, I need to do something else about this. I bought a cooler that just keeps my ice cold for like 24 hours, and I don't even look at the fridges anymore. I just bring all my food in my cooler. I strap my cooler to my bag and I just refresh the ice bags because I'm always going to have access to ice, whether it be on the plane or in the hotels. So if there's something that is like holding you back, you have to find a strategy to make sure to mitigate those issues that you're having. Like
I
for
love
someone
that. I
like,
love that. It's like doing a little bit of like recon work, right? Like
right.
if you're constantly finding that your barrier is a 4 p.m. slump, and every single day
Exactly.
you're struggling with this 4 p.m. slump, then you got to look at, okay, where's the kink in your hose? Where is the meal in the middle of your day that maybe you're not happy? You've got a gap in your macros. It's no carb, or
Right, exactly.
are you having too much caffeine in the morning? Where is the bottleneck here in your system? And I love the way that you were able to pivot and safeguard ultimately yourself from having those that continuously coming up if you were constantly finding, well, crap, I don't have any food.
Right.
I think the most beautiful thing about preparedness is that being prepared, like we've talked about, even with your food, Kate, as you can probably ex you've experienced, is it gives you peace of mind. Never once were you going into a hotel at this point and thinking, oh crap, my food is gonna go spoiled. And when you know your non-negotiables, things like water, sleep, movement, protein, everything else can really bend without breaking, right? Like I know that I'll never forget this. When I was traveling to Irving to get my pro card, I remember my mom saying to me, like, Maddie, everything could go to hell in a handbasket and you would be okay because you've got your monkfish, you've got your monkfish in your carry-on, you've got your suit. And she's so right. Like I
Right.
really had in that little carry-on everything that I needed.
It's like
And again,
when I travel, every time I leave the house, I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm forgetting something. And then I just think back like, okay, I have my work ID, I have my passport. Everything else is gonna be okay. I have the non-negotiables. I have the things that are going to get me through security at the airport. I can buy everything else. I can manage everything else. So if
yeah,
you just have
absolutely.
to set yourself up to make sure that you're not that you are going to be able to reach your non-negotiables, and then everything else will follow.
Yeah, again, it's all about this distinction between I'm seeing things through rose-colored glasses versus, I have structure. We're not saying you can't approach this journey with no structure. You've got to have the structure in place, but the goal is that you're able to live freely within it. Notice how never once did we talk about the fact that Kate had every single meal, put in a meal prep container. It like, perfectly planned out with an idea of exactly every day what time she was going to do what. If Kate had gone into every single trip knowing her exact meal time down to the minute and her exact workout that she was going to do and how many hours of sleep she was going to get, man, were you going to fail after week
Oh
one
man,
because that's just
I
not.
wish. I wish you just have to focus on things that are within your control. So like I've already talked about like, the cooler thing or like so what I do is I vacuum seal. I get all my food vacuum sealed or I'll like portion it into baggies and I only have one Tupperware. And if I get called into work, then it's already packaged, ready to go. I just throw it in my cooler and I leave. But if I get to stay at home, I just get to empty my meal prep in a baggie and I get to just use a real bowl and real silverware. I travel with like an insulated lunch warmer so that I plug in the lunch box and then it warms my food while I'm at the gym or getting my steps in or exploring on layovers, especially because I know, and this is what I'm saying over the years you learn, I know that 90% of our hotel rooms are not going to have a microwave. And I know I'm not going to want to go downstairs and put on clothes and be like, well, where's the microwave? And be walking around at 9 p.m. trying to warm up my food. Like, or in a pinch, like what we're talking about and being like, if you have to kind of adapt, I bring like an aluminum foil tin. I'll bring a handful of them with me. And if I'm in a pinch like mid-flight or my schedule's changed or they reroute me to do a longer flight or further or whatever it may be, I bring these aluminum tins so that I can use our ovens on the plane to warm up my food. I buy hot sauce packets, I buy almond butter packets, I keep my sodium and all my supplements like in little tiny packets and seasonings in little tiny packets. And over the years, I've just learned like what foods and pack well and travel well. And each meal is labeled and portioned, and I know exactly what I'm going to eat. But when I'm gonna, like what you're saying, I have to adapt on when I'm going to eat. Like if I'm pushed into a long day, I'm like, okay, I know that I have my lunchbox warmer. If I'm on the ground, I can use that. If not, I'm flying long flights. I have aluminum tins to use for our ovens. So it's as long as you're flexible for what life may throw at you, it will bring you, like what we're talking about, peace of mind and sticking to your goals a lot easier as long as you can. And it just takes practice, I think.
Yeah, it's something that you kept saying. I don't know if you realized it or not, but you kept saying over the years, over the years, over the years. A good reminder
Right,
for our
right.
listeners is this doesn't just happen overnight. A lot of the things that I'm sure you even learned, in the last 6 months of us working together have came largely from just trial and error in figuring out, what's going to
Exactly.
work best for you. Now, Kate, another thing that I want to talk about that I know you have a tremendous amount, a wealth of knowledge to share is listening to your body in real time. And, I think something that you have demonstrated so beautifully is that true mastery is not about pushing harder, but instead it's really about learning how to pivot. We glorify grinding hard. And I think there was a time too when we first started working together where I remember you saying, like, oh, I didn't sleep at all last night. I got up this morning and I did my best in the gym. I pushed myself really, really hard. And I would read that and go, right? Because it was like, especially when we're in a prep and, we're working towards ultimately just feeling healthier, self-awareness is what is the real skill there. And, Kate, over the course of working together, I've seen you really adjust and really learn how to listen to your body when your sleep was poor, when your hunger cues changed. I know that you would message me and you would say, Maddie, I'm going to be up for an extra, 6 hours today. How are we going to manipulate my food? I'm going to be hungrier. Or when your days were longer. And I really think that you've demonstrated, like I said, just so beautifully the distinction between treating your body like a robot versus treating it like your partner and something that's an extension of you. So Kate, what did your experience in, I guess, stepping really into a season where you were working with a coach, how did that transform and teach you the difference or the distinction between being disciplined, which I still believe you're very disciplined, probably one of the most disciplined athletes I've ever worked with, and listening to your body and trusting your intuition.
It's tough, you know? Like I have always been very driven and very goal oriented and very like you either do it or you don't. So, it's been really hard for me to kind of take a step back and learn how to make that distinction. There was a turning point in August, I'm sure you remember. That was like po and I know it was August because it was like when the summer travel season was starting to like it was really ramping up, and my ability was high. I mean, it is high already, but I mean, it was like extra high. My recovery was like slowing down. My sleep debt just kept building, and then I rolled my ankle, and then that's and I didn't take it seriously, and I wasn't giving it time to heal. I was walking through all the airports, and I was still pushing my training and put going hard in my posing. And I was making everything worse than it instead of just trying to recover. And then my non-negotiable started falling apart, like things at home, like my laundry was piling up, my groceries weren't done, I wasn't able to shop for my stuff, my house was a wreck, and I was still trying to do it all. And once I realized like my basic non-negotiable obligations were starting to take a back seat, I was like, I can't pose. I can't do a leg day not in pain. I'm not getting my steps in. I'm not like my cardio is suffering. I'm like, should I be wa I'm not, I should not even be like going to work, be like pushing this ankle or doing any of this stuff right now. I'm like, I'm not doing anyone any good. Like myself, my work, my mental like capacity. I was like, I need just to take. I called off of work for like a stretch of a few days because I was like, I need to properly execute like some rest. If my body's not capable of performing, whether in any aspect, you're just running yourself down. And I would just, it's not an efficient use of your time, you know? Like you're just hurting yourself when you could be building yourself.
I think there's moments I talk about this a lot where we can push through really well, especially someone who has a history of playing sports and being in competitive sports. We ignore a lot of the what I reference as whispers from our body. And those whispers in time really only become shouts. You know, Kate, I remember that time in August when you kind of just like not hit rock bottom, but for a lack of better words. And then all too recently, what, 2, 3 weeks ago, I get a text from Kate and she says, Maddie, surprise, I have COVID. And I know that there was a moment there where there was this like panic, right? I'm sure we're single digits out from competing at that point. It was like, what the heck, just what's happening? Am I going to lose all my progress? Do we need to pull from the show? But gosh, I think you pivoted mentally quicker when I
For
told you to
sure.
rest there. And it was the, I believe it really was that experience that you had with the ankle that equipped you with that peace of mind of, okay, actually, every time that I rest or every time that I listen to my, and I want to emphasize this, one and only body, because we only have one. You know, how much better our body responds. Like if you really bird's eye view this and you're looking down at the situation, it's like we really are one with our bodies. And how often do we try to fight that?
And like what you were talking about earlier, when I was like, I can't sleep, I'm just gonna go train. Like, there's been so many times after training, not so much now as I've learned a little bit more, but I get home and I'm like, that was not the right move. And it's something that I'm still learning and working on and improving, but prep has taught me a lot about like trusting my intuition. And again, it just comes with like practice, I think. I've just always been, as you know, just so driven. I'm like, all right, I just gotta get it done. And then I get it done. I'm like, there was probably a better way to do this. I should have rested this day and then done it in a different time. Whatever the answer may be, it's I'm still learning about how to figure out, trust my intuition a little bit more.
Yeah. And I think too, we don't want to confuse discipline with being a hard ass, right? Because
Right.
sometimes being disciplined can also, what I mean by discipline is also being disciplined enough to know that it's not the smart move to
And
push.
rest. I think they go hand in, I think they go hand in hand. I think
Yeah.
that pushing through a workout in a bad state isn't discipline. You're digging yourself a deeper hole, and that's where the intuition comes in. I think intuition is part of discipline.
And everybody too has different sort of like internal like red flags, right? I know
Sure.
that for some people, it may be that when they are pushing themselves past the point of return in the gym or physically, they feel very anxious at other moments throughout their day. For other people, it's a physical fatigue. For some women, it's inflammation. For other women, it's maldigestion and constipation, bloating. For other people, it's they get physically ill. They literally will get sick. Their immune system will suffer. And some people, it's a combination of things. But I think it's important that we all get a little bit more vigilant about dissecting and exploring what our yellow lights are, so we know how to respond to them. And again, this goes back to when Kate said, it keeps repeating for very purposeful reason, in time, I'm still working on X, Y, and Z, because this isn't something that we develop overnight. Much like when you start a health and fitness journey, you don't just step on stage in 6 months. You have to learn how to track macros. You have to learn how to track your step count. You have to learn the importance of getting sufficient amounts of sleep and tracking your menstrual cycle and all these important data points for us. It also works in the context of you have to test yourself and sometimes kind of go out on a limb and see what happens when you're like, you know what? I actually think my body needs a rest day, and you take it. That's scary at first. But then when
Yeah,
you
exactly.
see the next morning, you wake up and maybe the scale actually drops. Or you feel recovered for the first time in a year or in months. Eventually, over time, you accumulate enough of those, like, oh, I can trust myself moments, that it becomes easier and easier and easier to respond to your body when it wants rest.
Right, exactly. Like that leads me to a good point where I was thinking about how like being based in Phoenix, I go to Hawaii a lot. And when I come home, it's always the red eye. So it's my body clock time of 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. I'm working. And when I first started doing those trips, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm landing at 6 a.m. I have the whole day ahead of me. Like, this is great. I was convincing myself I have like this extra day off. And I remember like I went to the gym and I was just like, why did I do that? Like, it's become like a non-negotiable of mine now. This is like an adjustment that I've made. Like, when I come home from Hawaii, I'm useless. And I know that. Like, I know that I'm gonna plan ahead. I land at 6 a.m. on a Wednesday. I'm not doing anything Wednesday. I might go to the grocery store. I might pre-plan my food next tomorrow, but I'm not gonna be in the kitchen late cooking. I'm not gonna be going to the gym. I'm not gonna be getting my steps in. I just know that I'm gonna have to make it up somewhere else because I know that my body is going to be so pissed off if I work from 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. and then go about my normal day. That's just not possible. It's not smart. So I plan ahead and I know, all right, Wednesday is a loss and that's okay.
Yeah. And in these moments too, if you're someone who's kind of new to this whole listening to your body self, or listening to your body self. What am I saying? Listening to your body. It can sometimes help to think about, like, okay, if a friend were coming to you and we're saying, like, hey, Kate, I just got off of a trip, I just went to Europe and I'm flying home. I'm gonna go to the gym. You would tell that friend, you're effing crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like, and think about that. Like, if someone is like, if you're someone that's struggling and you are, trying to make it to the gym after your whole house has been riddled or struck with the flu, and you just got back from a work trip and you've got a big meeting with your boss tomorrow. Like, take it out of context and put yourself in kind of like the outsider perspective. Think about talking to a friend who's coming to you with this. What would they do? And what would you
Exactly.
instruct them to do? So for anyone listening, again, the goal is not to be unshakable. It's to be responsive to these things. And when you learn to pick apart and listen to your body's biofeedback to truly respond to your environment instead of resisting it, you unlock longevity. And that's how you build a body that works with you. Now, I know that, Kate, another component of, I believe, and I'm not taking any amount of ownership for this. Okay, maybe like 20%, but I do think that, our success as a team here was really built on a foundation of communication. And again, it goes back to that initial discovery call. You made the choice to ultimately work with me as a coach, and I'm forever grateful for that. It's like the biggest blessing to be your coach and your friend. But, I remember you being very clear about what you needed from a coach and how you needed to be supported and, ultimately coached. And when I say that, I thought about kind of an analogy for our communication, and I thought for this call it would be fitting to reference it as being like the cockpit. And when I say that coach-client communication is like a cockpit, what I mean is that clarity is what prevents the turbulence. And both in flying and in coaching, it's what prevents that turbulence. Small lapses in communication can have really, really big consequences. And in aviation, I know this, I had a boyfriend that was a pilot. I know we talked about this on our discovery call, but in aviation, everyone has to be on the same page, timing, direction, fuel, adjustments. And I really believe that the same applies in a health and fitness journey. And in your context, a prep. If a client, for example, hides feedback or hesitates to communicate changes, that flight path can go off course before we even recognize it. And this is why I really appreciate what I call micro adjustments. And these are those small weekly tweaks to things like macros or cardio or even mindset to keep you aligned with a bigger mission. Prep is not about one big overhaul, but it's 1,000 small little calibrations that are going to compound into success. And so, Kate, I want, you to perhaps talk on just about how our communication has evolved over the course of this prep.
I honestly, I think our communication has always been pretty strong, and I think that's a huge reason that like I've stayed on track. And we talked about this earlier. It's just in my nature like not to go blind into something. I and like we were talking about just being prepared and knowing why. And so I used to be a flight instructor, and I there's a few different levels of learning, and the last one is correlation. And I think of that because it's like, if I know why I'm doing something, I can correlate it with another reason why I might be doing something else. Like it's a big picture type of thing. And I need to, and you're going to remember these things more if you have a reason of why you're doing these things. It's so much, because if you're just doing it blindly, then it's not going to be important to you. But if you know why you're doing the things that you're doing, and you can correlate it to a few different reasons why you're doing this, it will become important to you to make sure that you are following through with these things. So anyway, so that's kind of why I am the way that I am, and the fact that I'm like, okay, well, why are we doing this? And how come like we're doing it this way? So that I can have just like a deeper understanding and knowledge about why I'm executing the things that you tell me to execute. I kind of
Well,
got
I
off
think there's
track.
a lot of no. I actually love that you brought that up because I think there are a lot of coaches that don't hold space for those types of questions. I worked with one for the longest time, and it's like, you almost feel like stupid to ask a question that you need elaboration on. Or maybe you're the client that says, I don't give a rip about elaboration. Just give me the protocol. Okay, I understand that may be the way that you've always operated, and you just kind of want to give me the protocol. I'll keep my head down. I'll keep my blinders on. But like, and Kate, you can speak firsthand about this. Like, I'm not the right coach for you then, because I'm not only the coach that hopefully you feel is explaining everything in to a to you know to the extent that you feel like you're at the forefront of your journey and you're bought into the process and you're committed to it because you understand the why. But I also want my athletes to feel and know that I'm thinking about 10 steps ahead. How many times have I had a
Exactly.
conversation with you about your reverse diet when we haven't
Yeah.
even stepped on stage yet?
Right. Exactly.
You
Because
know,
I'm
I
also
think
those
that,
10 steps ahead. I'm trying to
but
be, yeah.
I think that it's really, really important. You know, we started this call on the note in the discussion of expect the unexpected. But I think that even in the course of a prep, it's like if you are not having that communication and no one is shining a light or illuminating a light on what the future might bring, then one of two things either happens. Number one, we're completely unprepared. And when you're
Right.
unprepared, the likelihood of you being successful is next to nothing, let's be honest.
Right. Yep.
Or number two, we're seeing the world through rose-colored glasses. Oh, that'll never happen to me, and BS. You
Right.
know, I remember when Kate first entered into prep, and I think that this is normal for any new athlete that's
I'm
prepping.
so scared about
You're
what you're
so
about to
naive.
say. I'm
No, but
Oh my God.
you're so naive,
So
right? You're
I
like,
was so freaking
I'm not
naive,
gonna struggle
Maddie.
with hunger.
Maddie, I was so
I'm not gonna
naive.
struggle. Not gonna struggle with hunger, not gonna struggle with you know,
Oh my
wanting
God.
to eat whatever. And then damn if these recent check-ins, it's Maddie, I'm in the airport. Kate has even said this. I have never once even looked at Panda Express and I need it all of a sudden.
Exactly. Like, give me all
You
the
know?
candy and all the fried foods at Panda Express. And I've never had that problem. I've walked through airports my entire life, and I have never once have had cravings like this. But again, like,
Right.
I was like this, like, I was so freaking clueless. I was so naive. And I'll talk about that later, I'm sure. It's been so humbling because I took this stuff for granted. Like, I was always just like, all right. I eat healthy. I'm not gonna have any of these issues, and it's been like lately, obviously not. It's been the exact opposite.
Yeah, but also at the same time, Kate, the only way that I can support you, the only way that I can create a
Exactly.
plan for you is for you to swallow your pride and maybe go out on a limb and say, "Hey, I love when clients are always like something, something, something about my poop. Sorry about the TMI." I'm like, "There is no
Right,
TMI.
right.
There is
And
no TMI. You got to tell me these things because I need to be able to support you."
there are so many times we've talked, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm just complaining. I'm just complaining. I'm sorry, I keep complaining it's lately. And when I'm updating you on my biofeedback, and I think that's what's really important about finding a coach where you can be completely honest and where it's a safe space without judgment and criticism. It makes a huge difference to so that you've allowed for me to share openly about all of these problems and all these barriers that I'm finding out as I get deeper in my prep. And honestly, like, that's what we're paying you for. Like, I feel like if I want to make sure that we can have good communication, because that's, as you have spoken on, like, the biggest part of this, like, especially since this is like a one person game. Like, it's me, I'm the team, and you're my coach, you know? So it's really important that you have a coach, or anyone has a coach, where you feel safe to share openly. Like, if you can't do that, it's not going to work.
Yeah, my heart breaks because I do have girls, you know, in my DMs. I'm not going to name any names or, you know, give specifics, but I have girls in my DMs all the time that are telling me about stories or like saying like, "Oh, I binged and I'm scared to tell my coach." I'm like, if there's something that's on your heart that you're actually scared about or questioning, that's all the more reason to talk about
That's
it. And
hard.
so
Exactly.
basically, I just want to say communication is what builds trust. Trust is what builds those results. And every athlete, whether you're a competitor or a lifestyle athlete, you deserve a space where you can be honest without fearing judgment. I truly believe that the best results come when your coach knows the truth, the good, the bad, the ugly, the in-between of what's going on, and not just a filtered version. So,
Exactly.
Kate, as we wrap up here, like I said, I think that your wisdom has taught me even so much just about life lessons and how to coach other women. I would love to just kind of like take this moment just to ask you, what would you tell? Because I know that you really, really meditated on whether or not a prep was going to be aligned for you, ever because of your career. What would you tell the woman who's listening to this, who feels too busy or maybe too behind to go after her goals?
I know I've kind of touched on this a little bit already, but I've always been taught like if you or and it's always been like just in my nature, if I want something, you're gonna do anything in your power to make it happen. And I honestly just think like too busy or whatever it may be is just an excuse. And I get it. Like obviously with like my job, like things happen and things never go as planned. And I think you just have to learn how to handle it and pivot and be flexible and figure out what works best for you and your lifestyle. I'm still learning and it's all a balancing act. And the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. But if you don't ever start, you're never going to learn.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something that I talked about at the beginning of this podcast too, which is busyness is not an excuse. Busyness, again, is a
Exactly.
variable. Busyness is a variable, just like having an autoimmune disease or PCOS or Hashimoto's. It is a variable that requires a very intentional strategy. So, again, Kate, I think that your story is proof that your circumstances are not what define your potential. And it's all about how you respond to your circumstances. So whether you're a mom that's juggling schedules, maybe a business owner that's managing just a chaotic environment, or a traveler living out of a suitcase, it's about being resourceful, but not about being perfect. Success oftentimes does not require more time out of you, but again, it requires a better strategy. So, Kate, thank you so much for being here and for showing everyone that preparation and adaptability can coexist. You've proven that you don't need a perfect routine or a predictable life to achieve incredible, incredible goals. You just need a plan for what you can control and then stay flexible for what you can't. To everyone
Exactly.
listening, I hope that this episode reminds you that your schedule, your career, or your busy doesn't disqualify you from greatness. It simply means that your plan needs to fit you. If you're ready to find that balance, if you're tired of guessing and you want to build a strategy that actually works for your life, I'd love to help you. You can apply for one-on-one coaching or book a discovery call using the link in the show notes below to learn how we can personalize your approach to nutrition, training, or lifestyle, just like we did for Kate. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Psyche Behind the Physique. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this episode to support us. You could follow me on Instagram at Mads Michi Fitness and follow Kate. I will link her Instagram in the show notes. And don't forget to wish her good luck as she steps on stage this weekend for her first competition. And as always, be kind to one another and don't forget to include yourself in the mix. Thanks again, Kate. You are awesome.
Thank you.